We appreciate you folk, all that you do for us, and we appreciate our veterans. Amen. I never served in service. I have family that has, and I'm grateful, having been in five countries and about 40 states, to be an American. Amen. I love our country. As preacher was saying, we've been doing prison ministry now since 2000. Began volunteering at Lincoln Correctional and then began raising support in 2005, left our job in 06. And the Lord continues to open doors. When I left my public work, I told God if he'd take care of the finances, we'd do all we could to serve him. Amen. And that's my desire. And that's my goal. Until Jesus comes to take us home, is to be busy. Amen. I want to serve him. I want to please him. And the Lord's beginning to open doors to go overseas. We've actually, Becky's not going this time. I just ordered my ticket to Honduras. Be going January the 15th through the 23rd with Brother Chip Stowe, our director. He has been shipping Bibles down there by the thousands. And they're wanting him to come. And they want to meet him. And there have been actually been town mayors, and those are in charge of mayors there in Honduras, gotten saved through the open door that God has used there through some of the missionaries that were already there, some national missionaries. So we're going to go there and be in an orphanage and some Bible clubs and just different things like that. Do pray. I've never preached to an interrupter, amen. I don't know how that's going to work. And he's from Chicago. And I said, I hope he knows Southern English, amen. I don't know. But do pray. God have his will and way. Beg pardon? No, sir. I'd probably feel comfortable if I took him. This guy actually is from somewhere in Central America, but he was raised. He and his brother both were come to America, I think, at a young age. Maybe were born here and brought up here. His brother is actually taking care of the orphanage and back there. And Brother Ernesto has a Spanish church over in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Like I said, we just got back, as Pastor was saying, from Guyana. Was able to go back into the prison there again. Done a three-day revival, had 67 men trust the Lord as their Savior in those 3 days. And the staff is asking, Preacher, when are y'all going to start coming regular? And Brother Ram and them, the problem there, much like here, is you're at the whim, I guess you would say, of who's in charge of setting up the schedule. And we've got three men right now wanting to go in on a weekly basis, but just can't seem to get the lady that's in charge of setting that up. And I told them, I said, you speak to her. We found sometimes here that works. If you can get people inside the compound and going after the guy that's setting up the schedule, sometimes that opens the door. And we've got several camps we're in right now because some of the guys said, get Brother Joe to come and preach for us. And so do pray that God will open that door there in Georgetown, Guyana. We were able to help hold the first service for a new church. Brother Ram, and I may have mentioned this last year, Brother Ram was led to the Lord by a man who got saved in a prison in Arkansas. Got saved, God called him to preach, sent him to Guyana, South America, the only English-speaking country in South America. Sent him to Guyana, South America as a missionary, and he led Brother Ram Angad to the Lord many years ago. Ram was 17, he's 34 now. And Brother Ram has now helped establish fifth Independent Baptist Church. Brother Brian died in 06 in a motorcycle accident. He's done with the Lord. But he said, Preacher, his work is still going on right now in Guyana. That's missions, by the way. That's how it works. Amen. When Paul passed on, he passed the torch. And when others pass on, they've handed the torch now to us. It's our time. And I'm glad the teenagers are here. It's good to see all these young folks. Amen. I told them, just hold on. I'll be back there in a few minutes. Amen. But I like our young folks being around. And when we were in Grenada, had 27 teenagers in our church there. And they were a blessing. They were my workforce. Didn't matter what we were doing. They were there with us, and we're grateful to have the young folk here tonight. We were in the Philippines, March and April, my wife and I, and were able to go into five jail and prison services. Had 104 males and one female make a profession of faith in the Lord there. We had five men, actually, this afternoon. We were gassed in jail from 3:30 to 5 before we left to come here, or I was. My wife's not able to go into the jails here because of the situation's there. She goes into all the prisons with me, but the Gaston Jail and Harvey Krause Detention Center, where I go Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon, she's not allowed to go. But we had five men there trust the Lord, and had several. I had one behind doors asked me to pray for him. He said, Preacher, I need some spiritual help. And do pray for Mr. Williams. God have his will and way in his life. And we're able to speak to him a few minutes before we come out this afternoon. These men need help. They need somebody to come back there where they were. I told them today, I said, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. in A block there at Gaston Jail at 3 o'clock this hour, 3:30 this afternoon, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we appreciate you having your part in that. Those that get saved are fruit that abounds to your account through your giving and your generosity to me and many others around the world preaching the gospel. And we are grateful to be a part of your ministry. I want to read you something that was given to me by a 9-year-old boy when we had our last service in Guyana this past time. We were there 14 days and we're blessed to do a mission conference and two revivals and actually help with the first service in the new church and as well as going to prison and do some other things. Lord just kept plenty of doors open for us there. But that last night, they presented us a few things, and a young man, a 9-year-old boy, come to me. His name is Ezekiel. If I'm going to try to read if I can. His mother told me, she said, "Preacher, I've got an envelope." But he said, "No, I'm going to make the preacher an envelope." And I've got a copy. Of course, I've got the original at the house. But she said he sat down with a piece of paper and some glue and made an envelope to put his two little letters in that he wanted to give me that night. And he said, "Dear Pastor Joe, I would like to thank you and your beautiful wife for visiting our country, sharing God's word with us." He said, "I want to wish you and wish you all the best on your journey home and pray that you would continue sharing the gospel until your last breath." This is a 9-year-old boy. Then he said, "Brother Joe, please pray for my family, my mama Shannon is, to stay faithful in doing God's will. My brother Ezra, who is not so healthy, and I love him very much." He said, "My dad, who I love very much, but he's not living for God." He said, "Pray for me, Ezekiel. I wish to become a preacher. And not just a preacher, but a soul winner sharing the gospel everywhere." 9 years old. Pray for Ezekiel that God will do his work. You don't never know, child of God, what kind of impact you have on somebody else's life. And I'm hoping and praying. I've asked some men in the prison to pray. God keep Ezekiel on fire. I mean, he was just a little bitty thing, probably 50 pounds, you know, soaking wet. But he said, "I want to become a preacher, not only a preacher, but a great soul winner everywhere." So pray for them. God will have his will and way and the works there. We start revival at Liberty Correctional there in Spartanburg tomorrow. Pray God will have his will and way there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we had one saved down at Tabor City. We were there last Sunday night as well as at Tiger River Sunday morning. We left Tiger River. We come back to Silica Springs Baptist Church, one of our supporting churches. And after the service, a man come to me and shook my hand all smiling, hugged my neck. He said, "Preacher, what you're doing makes a difference." He said, "I used to be at Tiger River." He smiled and looked at his pastor. He said, "Now I'm here. Here's my wife and 4 or 5 head of youngins, a whole pew full of kids." And he said, "Now we remember serving God here at Silica Springs." That's what makes it worthwhile, amen. I didn't have a part in his ministry as far as I know, but somebody just like me reached him. And that's what it's all about. It's not about you and I anyway, by the way. It's about our Savior, amen. Make much of him, and he'll do what needs to be done. If you look with me tonight in Acts chapter number 9, I want to take a thought here, very familiar passage of Scripture for those of you that know the Scriptures and know the Bible. Thankful this again for the privilege of being here and for all that you folk mean to us and your friendship we have together with your pastor and, of course, Brother Sam. We've gotten to know him the last couple of years and Brother Boyce prior to that. And just a lot, we have a lot of fun together at the Preachers' Fellowships. And every time I come here, we've been blessed and we're so thankful for your love for missionaries and love for men of God. And want to look tonight at a man whom I look up to in the Scriptures. His name, as we meet him here, is Saul. We know him as Paul. But in Acts chapter 9, if you found your place, if you're able and would like to stand, I want to read just 2 verses tonight for sake of time. And we do have some videos, and Brother Sam has that, but I don't know that we'll have time. But if you want to go to Fundamental Baptist Home Missions or our mission board, fbhm.org, under my name. There's videos of the last 3 trips we made. A brother that's been with us on the one trip and actually going with us on Honduras does that. I'm not smart enough, but he's put them together and they put them up there to kind of show you what's going on in other places. We're working on getting something up for the prison as well. I didn't bring anything. We got prayer cards supposed to be going to the printers this week, so I'm not a real good missionary, I guess, in a lot of ways, but I want to serve him. Acts chapter number 9, verse 15. The Bible says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." He said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your watch care in our lives. Thank you for this church and their love for you and love for missions and love for things of God. Lord, would you bless the reading of the Word of God, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate you standing. In the first 31 verses of this chapter, we have an interlude with Saul, whom we know as Paul. And in verses 1 and 2, we see Saul's intention was to bring havoc and harm to the people of God. And then in verses 3 through 9, we see, and I'm glad for this portion of Scripture, the sovereign God's intervention. Amen. God showed up in the midst of what Saul was desiring to do and changed his plan forever. Amen. We try to go into these men, and as you go door to door and as people come week by week, our desire is for the Lord to intervene and change their lives forever. Amen. That's what happened here in verses 3 through 9. And then in verses 10 through 19, we see the saint of God's instruction. And, you know, even with Ananias, you know, he said, "Lord, I've heard many things about this guy." He didn't want to go, did he? Amen. He began to make an excuse. And then the Lord said in our text tonight, he said, "He's a chosen vessel. Go thy way." And that's the thing. We don't know who God chooses and why and what purpose he has them chosen for. Our responsibility and our obligation is to go. Amen. And to be what God wants us to be. Then in verses 20 through 22, we see the synagogue's impression of this new Saul or Paul as he is. And verse 21 says, "They were amazed." And it always amazes me when you see somebody that used to not be so nice to be around and used to not be so good to be friends with, and now God's changed them around. And it amazes the devil's crowd as well, amen? Because the next verses, we find them desiring to cause him harm now, desiring to do for him what he was wanting to do with them. But we see the servant's imagination here in verses 23 through 26. We don't know these men's names, and I preach sometimes just on those men. They're unknown and unnamed, but they're not unheard of, and God knows what they did. God's keeping the record of those men that held the rope so the man of God could go on and do what God had chosen him to do. Amen. And there's a tremendous message in that of holding the ropes, and they were doing it from home. It was apparently, as far as I can find from study, out of one of those men's houses that they let down that man. They let Saul down to go on about his business. And from what I understand, they had harm to themselves should they be found out. But then in verses 27 through 31, we see the Son of Consolation's introduction. Many things have been said about Barnabas, but we do know his name means Son of Consolation. And I look at that in this thought, even in the message tonight, he found his place. Amen? Because when he and Paul parted, and I've heard many really ridicule him for that, but if you'll read on the rest of the story, so to speak, John Mark, whom he took and whom he went with, Paul would later say he's now profitable to the ministry. You wonder if it might be because the Son of Consolation had found his place and he went now to help another young man. Don't know. It's a good thought. But I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on chosen vessels. Chosen vessels. You and I are chosen vessels of the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay, over the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor?" Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. As I begin to look at this, and Paul was not a likely choice, and I thought of that much when God was dealing with me about preaching. My pastor was so sure that God was dealing with somebody, he went to another young man in the church. I was not the likely choice, but I'm so grateful God kept after until he got me, amen. He kept coming to where I was, not only at salvation, but then when it came to service, he continued to work in my life. And as I began to study on this, and here I heard a man preach, let me say this, somebody said last night, or yesterday afternoon at the meeting, Brother Jones and I was talking, said he had heard somebody preach a message or something I'd used. And, that originated with me. Didn't nothing originate with me, okay? I'll be the first to tell you. There ain't nothing new under the sun. I thought a couple times I had an original idea for a little while. And then God showed me it wasn't my... There's nothing new under the sun. Dr. Simon used to drill that in our heads. He said, if it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. Just go ahead and enjoy it and have church, amen? That's my desire. That's my plan tonight. But I was looking and studying something after I'd heard a preacher make a comment one time, and he mentioned this man, and I was looking him up actually just a little while ago, and I left a folder of stuff back there, but the man's name, we know him as Lawrence of Arabia. He became famous for his exploits as a British military liaison back in the Arab Revolt during the First World War. and began to do a little reading. Was looking even what I said a while ago, and he formed a close allegiance with some of the sheiks and friendship with the sheiks of the Arab nation, Arabia. And after the war, he brought them back to England to show his appreciation, and he showed them around, introduced them to some of the higher-ups of the day, and all of that, so history tells us, or at least that's what the internet says, and I might be wrong, okay, for him, y'all forgive me. But they said on the last night, he brung them all together. They come from places where it was dry and parched, and he said, what could I give you to take back to where you live? And he said they took him and they led him by the hand into the bathroom where the faucet was in the bathtub. And they said, where we live, it's dry and there's no water. He said, we want one of those to take back with us. And then he began to explain to them that that faucet was worthless in and of itself. Though it's a chosen vessel, though it's a good vessel, the vessel itself was needful, but that vessel was useless of itself. He tried to explain to them the well and the water and the flow and the connections and all of that. And they just thought, boy, they would just, if they could just take that faucet back and set it up in a dry place and turn it on. Well, you know, can those faucets tonight represent you and I's chosen vessels? I began to study a little bit about faucets, and I was looking again tonight trying to find the price of what they call a Swarovski, or an Oz faucet, sorry. It has 282 diamonds in it, 10 1/4 carats, made of solid gold. Amen, and I couldn't find the price. I wanted to find one. I figured it probably cost more than the mobile home I live in, amen. But you know, you could bring one of those faucets, those most expensive faucets, or maybe a Swarovski faucet that has those Swarovski diamonds. And I looked even, they have some now that they're saying in these real expensive homes that you just touch it and it would know by you touching it how hot you wanted your water. And boy, we think about all this modern technology. But I build houses for a living, okay? Used to install bathroom and kitchen cabinets, and we'd put in those faucets, and they'd pull them faucets through that, pull that house through the plant, and we'd build in plant modulars, and they would pull that thing through the plant, and though that faucet looked so beautiful sitting there in that sink, we had one particular, we put in an upgrade house that we would wrap in bubble wrap because we was afraid it would get messed up, and it cost more than my paycheck, and we didn't want the faucet to get disturbed. But all the way through that house, you could go in and turn that faucet on, and it wouldn't give you anything. There's no magic in the faucet. There's no miracle in the faucet. Sometimes we think of ourselves as somebody great. And boy, we might be all polished, or some of y'all might be all polished. I know I'm not. Hey, man, and boy, you get all polished up and think we're something else. But there's no magic in us. There's no miracle in us. It's what we're connected to that makes all the difference. Amen. I got to thinking about that, and you go down to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever, and you walk through that area, man, they've got 150, 250 faucets, all shapes and sizes. I'd say on this compound tonight, there's many types of faucets, all with a distinct purpose, all chosen for that purpose. There's one at the water fountain, and we're grateful for that, amen. There's one back in the kitchen, no doubt. There's probably one on the side of the building that would give us water to water plants or to clean cars or to clean, it's a different faucet. And each one's chosen for that purpose. Each one was made for that purpose. What a blessing when we realize tonight that we're made with a purpose in God's eyes. And God sees the faucet. He sees the vessel. And he has an opportunity and a desire and a place for each and every one of us. By the way, well, I never tried to put a bathroom faucet in the kitchen. Most of them ain't bored right. One's 4 inches and one's 8 inches. They don't work. And if it went there, it wouldn't look right. And sometimes we get out of place. But I want to preach to you, just a little while tonight, somebody done asked me about a bag. I let mama carry the bag because I get in trouble. There's no magic in the faucet tonight. I preached in Maine some months ago, August, I believe it was, and I was preaching for a little church up on the mountain, and man, they had an outhouse out back, had a port-a-john in the back, and I can't pronounce that other thing they had back there. I used it just so I could say I could. It come from Switzerland or somewhere. And I thought I was going to be a blessing to them, brother. They didn't have no water, so I brought a faucet and set it up on the pulpit. And I said, preacher, I'm going to help y'all tonight. I'm going to give y'all a faucet. He said, Brother Joe, it won't do no good. We ain't got no well. And sometimes we're up there like we're all kind of something, and we're not connected to the well of water and the well of life, friend. And all we've got, something that looks pretty, it's not beneficial. I don't care how much it costs. It won't help you if you don't have it connected to something. Listen, they are compulsory. We need them. I remember when we were in the Philippines in March and April, we were living on, we stayed on the third floor of a place, and we climbed the steps, and they had a sink up there, and that was a blessing for me and my wife. And my pastor came in a couple weeks after we were there, and he went in one night, and he turned that thing and twisted it off. And water shooting everywhere, and I'm there both hands trying to stop the water flow. And I'm like, pastor, call the preacher. I don't know where the cutoff was. Amen. And I'm sitting there just holding the water. It's just running everywhere. They finally shut it off. We got up the next morning. Man, they had done went out and got a brand new faucet. It looked so pretty. I went over there and turned the lever, and nothing happened. So I opened my door and looked under the sink. They hadn't hooked nothing up. They just put another faucet in. Is that not what we do a lot of times? Boy, we've learned how, well, we can polish that thing up, make it look so pretty. We know how to do what's right, and we know, you know, all this and that. And boy, we think we're so fine and we're okay, but we're not connected to Jesus Christ. And because of that, friend, we have major problems in our life. The Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This isn't the treasure. It's what comes out of it, amen. I imagine you veterans, you men of God, you ladies that served, and you was over like my nephew over in Iran, and it's 100 and whatever degrees, and you're carrying your pack and all that stuff, and no doubt you'd be thirsty. It'd probably be frustrating to turn this one on because ain't nothing going to happen. You'd like to have some water. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God's given you and I the opportunity to carry the water of life to the world if we'll just be connected to him. I'm grateful for the day when God came 43 years ago and saved my soul, changed my life. And I got hooked up to the water source. I got hooked up to the water of God. And God's been a flowing through me ever since. Friend, the Bible says in John chapter 7 and verse number 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. I'm glad tonight that if we get hooked up, we've got something that'll help others. Amen. But I'm afraid a lot of folks in our church are just like this faucet. They might look pretty, we've dressed right, we've decked out, amen, we've got everything going for us, but if you look at it, you look underneath the cabinet, there's no connection. And it's not too long, sad to say sometimes, that particular faucet's gone. That particular faucet's gone. I have guys ask me all the time in the prison, chap, preacher, chap, why can't I stay right when I get outside? I said, it could be you've never gotten connected to the right source. That connection is very important. Who you're connected to is very important. How you're connected is very important. Amen. If you get one that ain't connected right, y'all know what happens. Amen. You'll be replacing the floor or something before it's over with. It'll begin to destroy and tear down. Found another faucet while I was looking. Let me show you this one a minute. This one here, I can't afford one. I just got a picture. You ever seen this one? They call this a magic faucet. It's not connected to anything. It looks pretty. I've seen a couple of them in real life. And it's just what it is. It's got a little tube that runs up through there and a battery just keeps pumping that water back and forth. It's called a magic faucet. And I'm afraid a lot of God's people or a lot of church folk, I should say, maybe not God's people, a lot of church folk kind of like this magic faucet. They look okay. All this faucet can do is pump what somebody else puts in it. And I think of your pastor and your teachers and even those that are teaching different groups tonight, and they're pumping the Word of God, they're pumping the water of life into young folks and older folks alike, and all they're doing is circulating what's being pumped in. But what happens, though, in this, you give it a few days and it becomes stale. It's not fit to drink. I was preaching somewhere a number of years ago, and I was hot, about like I am now, and I saw a cup of water sitting over there, and I just assumed. I don't do that anymore, but I assumed it was mine. I assumed it was put there for me until I took a sip of it. It didn't take much to realize that wasn't put there that night. I don't know how long it'd been sitting there, but I didn't want no more of it. And that's exactly what happens when we try to live and serve God without being connected to Him. Amen. We can take a little while what the preacher puts in us. We can take a little while what the teacher puts in us. We can take a little while what Brother Sam put, but in time it'll become stale and stagnant. And nobody else is going to want what we've got. Nobody's going to want what we have. So the faucets are compulsory. First of all, we've got to have them. And they're all different. I was trying to think tonight which one I would be around my house. We've got them in the kitchen. We've got them in the bathroom. We've got them out in the barn. Hey man, they some out at Dad's that the silver plating's coming off of, but they're still serving a purpose. You know, I look around here and we're all different. We're all made different. Amen. I'm just who I am. That's not too good for some folks, but I'm glad I'm still who I am. Amen. Somebody said something to my wife the other day, and I said, well, I tell you what, I was like that when she met me. I didn't change like this. I hear sometimes, well, he wasn't like that when I met. I said, yeah, I was that bad when she met me. She married me anyway. But in time, we get old and torn, all that polish might have came off, and all that pretty might not be there, but we still have a purpose. I thought as we watched that little video of some of those men, it's all they can do now to stand that have served our country faithfully and still will stand, and they still reverence the flag and they reverence the things of our country, even though they have to have help sometimes to get up to do it. Oh, they might not look as sharp and prim as they one time did, but they still have a purpose. I love to talk to those type of men because they're the men and women that formed and shaped our country. They're the men and women that made our country what it is. And I want my grandkids to be around that kind of people. I want to be around the old-time preachers in the old-time way. When we think about this, it's compulsory. We've got to have it. The connection must be the right kind of connection. Then thirdly, what I found out, and we've had the same problem in our home, maybe you've had the same problem in yours, is time to time these faucets develop a problem inside. Usually right inside this valve. A lot of the faucets are made out of rubber. Now they're making some of them out of ceramic. And I've been told by studying the last week, they've got something actually made out of steel, stainless steel balls. But because they're made by man, in time they begin to leak. They develop a problem. Y'all know that feeling late of the night trying to sleep? It ain't loud. But I'm like, woman, we got to shut that thing up. Put a rag and do something. Stop that. And boy, we think we got it going, and somebody moved a rag, and you hear just that little drip. You know what it tells me? It tells me something's wrong inside that faucet. And sometimes in our Christian life, that's what happens. Something gets wrong inside, and we're dripping, so to speak, and we've got a problem. You know what we've got to do? When that problem comes up, Brother Sam, plumber will come in here, and he'll take an Allen screw, and he'll take this out, and he'll pull that apart. But before he does that, he has to shut the water source off. You ever be around somebody that seemed like water used to be bubbling over, and they're all excited, and now they're not so excited anymore? They've developed a drip, a problem inside. And because of that, God's cut the water supply off until they fix it. One thing I notice, especially in older homes, I don't know how it is here, but in older homes, when you cut the water supply off for this one, sometimes you'd affect the entire house. I've had guys tell me all the time in the prison, preacher, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. I've had church folks say, well, preacher, I ain't hurting nobody but me. No, you're affecting the whole house. You may not think you are, but what affects you, brother? We're brothers in Christ. What affects you? It ought to affect me. And what affects me ought to affect you. You're my brother. You're my sister. And when something happens, and sometimes we exercise church discipline, we did that in Grenada. We didn't do that out of anger. We didn't do that because we were mad. We didn't do that because we wanted to hurt somebody. We wanted them to get right. We wanted them to help. And every time but one, when we did that, those people in time would take that apart and get it fixed and come back and say, preacher, what do I need to do to make things right with the church? What a blessing. And all that's fixed up, and now you're not hearing. That's gone. Now when you turn it, it shuts off. Sometimes we have that continual dripping. But David said in Psalms 57, I believe it is. Let me get up here and find the scripture. In Psalm 57, verse 7, David said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Sometimes we can't give praise and sing because there's a problem on the inside. When we were in Guyana this last time, we don't ever know how we're going to do things. People say, how do you do all that? I don't know. My job is to start going and to pack. God takes care of it. But when we got down there, we were able to do a couple things for the missionary, the national missionary. And when we were there last year, he had a faucet that probably none of us would have used. I mean, you had to take a rag to turn it off. It constantly dripped. It irritated me to death. I didn't like it. We didn't do anything about it. We left, and I told my wife, I said, we're going to do something this time if it's still there. So a year later, we're laying in bed of a night, and that thing's going. And when you turn it off, and we didn't realize until we fixed it that this was happening, but when you would get it turned off, we'd be laying in the bed, and we'd hear something go, then a little bit later, I said, what is that? He said, something to do with the plumbing outside, preacher. It was that faucet in the kitchen. And I know that because when we replaced it, it quit squealing. I said, hallelujah, brother. I said, if we'd have known that, we'd have done it the first day we got here, amen. So we said, preacher, if I would have just known But it's so much greater to get that fixed. I mean, get all that racket out of the way, get all that internal problems out of the way, and then we can just enjoy having and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Sometimes we develop that continual leak that determines and tells us there's a problem on the inside. And that problem on the inside can be fixed. 1 John 1:9, see on the scriptures. Hey, man, if you pull this thing apart, and I'm pretty sure this one has rubber, you'd pull this apart and pull that rubber washer out and put another in, put it back in, it'd be good for a little while. That's the thing. Well, we can fix it and everything's good. You could take that Oz faucet, and in time it would need fixing, it would need repair. There's not a one of us that don't need fixing. There's not a one of us that don't need repair. There's not a one of us that gets to the point where we don't need nothing in our lives. We're all good. I'll be honest, after yesterday and the preaching we heard yesterday, I fall on my face and say, God, it's me. Oh, Lord, I need some help. I need you to work on me. We realize tonight, faucets are compulsory. You're chosen vessels. Let me say, young folk, I can just come back here and say, I just stay with you guys. I'm getting so old now that it's aggravating her sister about limping in. I've done stuff, and my body said, you're not that young anymore. Quit that stuff. You're crazy. And I go walking, trying to get around, jump off of something. And when I hit the ground, I realize I shouldn't have jumped. I should have got a ladder, amen. But I enjoy being around you young folks. But you know what I found? Young folks have problems too. There's a 13-year-old boy in Sioux Falls, South Dakota right now. He has two shunts in his brain. They operated on him last week, and they think now he's had a stroke. His mom and dad's there with him. James and Angela Ruckman, dear friends of ours. Her dad was my best friend in college. They've been out there for years. It's her youngest son. He's looking at weeks now in rehab. They had him up, the two of them, walking yesterday. Had a little video on YouTube. Was praising God he was walking. 13-year-olds ought to be running and playing basketball and whatever else they can get into, amen. We ought to be trying to keep them. But he's doing good to walk because something inside went wrong. Sometimes sin does us that way. And sin will cause a problem. Here's something else. I'll give you this in close. When we get through sometimes and we've got everything worked out and everything's okay, we've got the problem fixed internal, nothing's there, and we turn, as soon as we replace that faucet in Guyana and we turn the faucet on, it done good for just a minute and then the water flow slowed down. This wasn't leaking. Everything was connected. We had no leaks underneath the house and I had no leaks underneath the cabinet. And I said, Brother Ram, I want to show you something. I said, there's a filter right here, a little screen. And I took it off, and there was little particles of earth had built up in that screen. And I said, that'll slow the flow. And you know, that earth, that particles, could be likened to the world getting in our life. Sometimes we're going along fine. We've got everything internal, boy, we're doing good. But we get too much of the world in our faucet. And that slows down the flow of the Word of God and the work of God in our lives. I'm guilty. As a preacher, sometimes I get too busy and get too much of the world in my flow. And I've got to come aside and say, God, help me get that world out. I've got to take that thing apart. And I showed Miss Anika how to clean it because there wasn't one on the one we replaced. I didn't know if she knew what to do with it or not. I was making sure before we left she understood that that thing time to time had to come out to be cleaned so it could flow as it should. Sometimes, church, we have problems. Sometimes because of those problems, they're internal and we need fixing, we need help. Sometimes those problems will cause the flow to be shut off until we are fixed, until things are as they should be. And we don't have that continual drip. And then sometimes we get all that fixed, and man, we're going along, we're all excited. Me and Mama's traveling up the road, and we drove 500 miles Sunday preaching, and was in two prisons and a church service. And man, we was all excited. Had one guy down at Tabor City get saved. Praise the Lord, we're excited about that. But then you get down the road, and you find out the world done crawled up in you. Faucet. Too much of the world's gotten in us and it slowed down the flow. The excitement's not there. I'll be honest, we get tired, we get weary. And sometimes that can cause you to be not as excited about the things of God as you one time were. And it finds us sometimes, at least I find, preacher, in my problem, in my case, sometimes it'll cause me not to be as vigilant about the world getting in the faucet as I one time was. Why does that matter, preacher? Because the Lord said you're a chosen vessel. I've found where I fit. I've been offered several churches in the last few years, and I would enjoy that if God wanted me to do that. But I said I wouldn't be happy, and you wouldn't be either, because God has put me in prison ministry. And God's began to open the door for us to travel like I didn't. I never planned to leave North Carolina. I'd have been halfway around the world this year. fixing to leave in a few months, 60 days. I said, why would you do that? Because I have found where God's put me. I've been connected to Him, and He just places me. You see, here's the thing. You know, I could put that faucet in the bathroom if I wanted to. I'd have to bore some holes. I'd have to change some stuff. I could put it where I want to. It's my faucet. But God chooses us and fits us where He puts us. Amen. I remember I was raised in support the first time, and in the 80s, I was in my 20s, and I was up somewhere in Virginia, wherever, and man, just, I've calmed down now. I've gotten older, okay? But I didn't have no sense anyway, and I had an older lady come to me, brother, and she said, Brother Joe, are you sure God don't want you to pastor? God don't want you to, no, she said, you sure God don't want you to preach? I said, I hope that's what I'm doing. She said, no, I mean pastor. I said, yeah, He called me to plant churches, and for 8 years we did that. Some of those folk that got saved there are still serving God. Two of them married to preacher. We've got two preacher's wives, another young preacher. What a blessing. I'm hoping one day Ezekiel will come along. We were in the Philippines this year, had a youth camp, 350 people in that youth camp, 350 young folk, 100 of them came to the altar and said, I want to give my life to full-time Christian service. Many of them have already started Bible college. They've found their place. I don't know where your place is. I've found mine. Unless God changes, now God can do that. But unless God changes, I plan to do what I'm doing the rest of my life till Jesus comes and gets me home. Yeah, it's one thing I found, that faucet stayed right where it was till I moved it. Stayed right where I put it. It's my faucet. I bought it. I paid for it. If God's bought you and paid for you and you're connected to Him, He'll be able to put you wherever He wants to. And you ought to want to serve Him. Oh, those faucets are compulsory. We've got to have them. We need them. But they must be connected. If they're going to do anything, they must be connected. I was reading about how one man made millions, Boeing and Delta. I was reading about that this afternoon just before we came here, by different designs on their faucets. The single ball design, just one handle. I forget how many years this guy failed. How many years he was turned down. It's about 5 or 6 years, and he finally got one that worked. And they said in just a couple of years they had sold over 1 million of them. Pretty good. But he didn't give up. Young folks, sometimes you get in trouble, you get in a struggle. I told the men this afternoon in jail, I said, sometimes things go tough and you just quit. But God's not going to quit on you. He'll stay with you. He'll continue. He'll help you. Amen, but we've got to continue. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, and I'll close with this. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21 said, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Are you where God wants you tonight? Are you connected to Him? Are you just one of those magic faucets, just recirculating whatever the preacher shows and shares, whatever Brother Sam and others in the church here share with you? And you're just going out and retelling that, recirculating that, and in time it becomes stale. One thing I've learned about preaching, if it ain't fresh to me, I can't expect it to be fresh to you. Amen. If it don't stir me up. One guy told me one time, I said, why would you listen to your own preaching? I said, I want to see why everybody else is looking so sad when I'm preaching. Amen. I want to see why they're looking so bad. If it don't stir me up to preach, how could I ever expect it to stir you up to do anything? And I say the same thing to you. If your life and your living and your lifestyle doesn't stir somebody else up for Christ, you might ought to check the connection. You might ought to check the faucet. There might be a problem on the inside. I mean, fewer and fewer men are stepping out. Men are still quitting the ministry. If preaching and pastoring was so easy, why? What did I say, 15? I forget the statistics our brother was giving yesterday. They're quitting. I mean, they're dropping. 72 men started a tabernacle in 1984. 24 graduated 4 years later. Out of those 24, 12 of us went overseas, went to missions. Some of those are not even in church tonight. I told Brother Ben Mayo, he and I went to college together, and I said, well, thank God we're still at it. We're still doing what God called us to do. Except for the grace of God, I could be where the others are. But I'm still connected. I've had some leaks, brother. I've had to be taken apart. God's had to go down inside of me time and time again and fix me up. And say, all right, Joe, we're ready now. I'm going to turn the water back on. And then sometimes down the way, I've gotten clogged up. And the water flow hadn't been right. And God said to say, Joe, you got too much world in you. You got to get some of that out. Need to clean the filter. Everything will be well. Chosen vessels. That's me and you. We're just chosen vessels. How is it with you tonight? Are you where God wants you? Are you clean? Or are you leaking? Are you the one that every week they hear? Let's get it fixed. Do something great for God. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this church and their love for missions, their love for people. Lord, I pray you'd bless your church, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.